Good evening, everyone. It's a joy to share God's word with you tonight. We have been studying the book of Exodus, and we got to see the glories of the old covenant, what God has done through Moses, and God's redemption. We also saw how much the tabernacle can capture the beauty of the garden and remind God's people of what he has done in creation and is doing through creating a people for himself. But is it possible to focus too much on the shadow and forget what is the reality? Is it possible to love Moses and reject Christ? What would you say to someone who thinks that the old covenant is enough or even better than the New Testament and the New Covenant? What would you say to someone who thinks it's, let's go back to Moses, let's go back to the old covenant? In the epistles to Hebrews, the author is talking to Christians who were tempted to go back to old covenant. They are Christians from Jewish background, and they were tempted in their suffering to go back to Judaism. They were persecuted, imprisoned, and even their possessions were confiscated. They were suffering for Christ. And in their mind, they were thinking, it's better to go back. Why should we endure in this suffering while we can go back and end all of this? There is no big difference for them, as they thought, between Christianity and Judaism. We will have Moses, the Aaronic priesthood, and we also will have God's law. We lack nothing in that way. So a Christian leader was led by the Holy Spirit, we don't know his name, was led by the Holy Spirit to write this letter to them. He wanted to prove that Christ is greater than all, than Moses, than Joshua, than Aaron, and even angels. He wanted to prove to them that Christ is all in all. And he also wrote to encourage them to endure sufferings till they receive the greater promises. So Jesus is greater, and we can endure through this suffering. In our passage tonight, we read about a comparison between the people of the old covenant and people of the new covenant. And this is the main idea that summarizes this passage. New covenant believers have a greater access to God through the perfect mediator. New covenant believers have a greater access to God through the perfect mediator. Let's look at our text together. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. Hebrews 12, you can find it on page 5 in the bullet. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. In these verses, the author is comparing the experience of the people of Israel in Exodus, in the times of Exodus, with the new covenant. And he will use this comparison to prove the superiority or the greatness of Christ himself. So look what they experienced and look what we have. Tonight we will think through 2 points. One, greater access, and then better blood. Let's start with greater access. Throughout Hebrews, the author will use a word that means drawing near, coming, and approaching. And he uses this word in our text. You have come to God. You have come to Christ. In Hebrews 4:16, he says, let us then with the confidence draw near to the throne of grace. And in 7:25, he says that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, through Jesus. It's the same word. And it described the coming of the Israelites to the God of Moses, to the God of Exodus in Mount Sinai. In verse 18 of the same chapter, he's describing it as a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. People of Israel were afraid. We hear this throughout Exodus. They were afraid to approach God. They heard his voice from the clouds and they were afraid. You, Moses, go and listen to God, hear him, and bring the words to us. We don't want to go any further. We don't want to approach God any further. We don't want to draw near. So in verse 22, the author is reminding the readers who are in the new covenant that they did not come to a fearful situation. They did not come in fear. They have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's the city of David. Peace dwells there because the anointed king lives there. Jerusalem is greater than Sinai because God dwells there in the temple. It's not a mountain that's fiery, that's covered with smoke, but it's a peaceful place. But Christians came to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We join Abraham in the city, in waiting for the city that God builds, in waiting for the new creation. And they also came to angels in festal gathering. We hear about the singing angels twice in the Bible. First, at the dawn of creation, angels shouted for joy when God laid the foundations of the earth. So the first time was at the dawn of creation. And the second, at the birth of Christ. At the dawn of the new creation, we hear angels are singing. And we join them. We join these angels. So new covenant believers are part of God's plan. They are on track. They are moving from the old creation to the new creation. They come to the heavenly Jerusalem. But the readers, the first readers, were tempted to fall back, to reject Christ, to forsake Christ and hold on to Moses. So the author was telling them, you belong to a better covenant with Christ. You inherit greater promises. Why fall back? We belong to the new creation, and we are worshiping alongside the holy angels. But we are not just as individuals worshiping God with angels. Look at verse 23. Here we meet the congregation. To the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. These two descriptions circle around or surround the phrase coming to God, the judge of all. God remains who he is. He's still the judge. He's always the holy God. And we stand before the same God of Israel. God does not change. But lest you think that we have the same experience of Israel, that we come in fear, that we come to someone who is about to judge us, we join the people who are enrolled in heaven. So the author is speaking about we are joining righteous spirits who are made perfect. The new covenant people are all redeemed. Why does he call them firstborn? The firstborn in Egypt was killed, but the firstborn in Israel was redeemed by the Passover lamb. And they were redeemed again in another way by the consecration of Levites. So God punished the firstborn in Israel, in Egypt, and all the firstborn in Israel belong to him. But instead of these people being consecrated for the ministry or for service, God consecrated all the Levites, the firstborn, or in place of the firstborn. But we have been redeemed by the Lamb of God, not just a sheep, the Lamb of God. And he was dedicated, devoted to God in our place. And because of his work, we are also dedicated and consecrated to God. This is the beauty of Christ, that whatever he has accomplished is not only counted for us, it's also affecting our lives. Moses could approach God alone, and the people stood far away. But with Christ, we also approach God. We draw near to God. We are all redeemed by Christ. So we join the perfected saints who are in heaven, the cloud of witness that we hear about or read about in Hebrews 11. That's why we approach God joyfully and confidently with all these redeemed people. We know that God is the judge of all, but we are no longer afraid of Him. There is a way for sinners to approach God without fear. There is a way for sinners to dwell with God only if they come to God through Christ. Jesus is the only one who obeyed God joyfully and perfectly. That's not me. I cannot say this about myself. I can only speak about my sins, but they were laid upon him, and he went to the cross. And because he rose again, I am justified and forgiven because of him. It's by grace alone that I am saved. I did nothing to achieve that. And I can boast only in Christ because of all that he has accomplished on my behalf. And this should be your story too. If you have put your trust in Christ and repented of your sins. But if it's not your story, God says, turn to me and be saved. Repent and believe in Christ. Do not harden your heart tonight. Look to Jesus. Put your trust in him and repent. Return from your way, your path, and come to God. Draw near to God through Christ. Our greater access to God should shape our worship, our gathering. Do you come to church to feel good about yourself? I came today to church. Checked. I came on time. Checked. Do you feel that you are better than those who miss church or skip church or come late? Or is it a burden for you to come to church? And you keep thinking, what if I miss church this Sunday? How much I can use that time? You come expecting nothing and you leave the same as you came. Or you come joyfully expecting to hear God's word speaking to you, changing your life, empowering you and equipping you for the good work of ministry and the good work of the gospel. Are we grateful for this opportunity to gather, to pray for one another? Are we grateful for having Christians around us from different cultures, from different backgrounds, who speak about the same Christ, the same God, and read the same Bible? Let us pray that every week we come with gratitude. It's not a burden. Let us come with gratitude to worship God and serve Him. This is our privilege, as we heard today in the morning. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to us to hear that God is calling sinners like us to draw near to Him. Come early and benefit from everything that's happening here, every opportunity for teaching and equipment for the ministry. It's not a restraint, it's an opportunity for us to grow together, to fight the good fight together. Let us move to our second point, better blood. Now the author brings out the attention again to the superiority of Christ in comparison to all persons or institutions of the Old Covenant and the Old Testament. Christians are the people who have come through faith to the blood of Christ. Notice that he's saying coming to Christ, coming to Jesus, not through Jesus. He's moving to another point. Because we come to this sprinkling blood. It's the blood for cutting the covenant, for establishing the covenant. We come to that blood that consecrates us to be in relationship with God. Christ shed his blood to establish a new and a better covenant. That's why you receive better promises. It's because we have a perfect mediator, someone who's greater than Moses. And as these people were hearing an argument and after argument, a proof after proof that Jesus is greater, they are now able to let go of Moses, let go of the old covenant, and look to Jesus. I want you to imagine a banquet or a feast, and you're not just coming late, finding only salads. You come early. You're the first one to come, and you find that every dish and every meal is just the best thing you have tasted. And you think, I will just have this. I don't need anything else. But then you decide to taste another thing and you find it's more delicious than what is before. So throughout the epistle to Hebrews, you hear about Christ. And the more he speaks, the more we discover more glorious things about Christ. And as we feast on Christ, we grow in our ability to cling to Christ, to embrace Christ as our only hope in life and death, and let go of everything else around us. The old covenant and the sacrifices and the priest are no match to Christ. And this is why we gather, because we know that our life depends on Christ. We receive better promises because of Christ, like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and being sent to all nations with the gospel. In 1 Peter 2:9, but you are chosen, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, titles that were only to Israel until Christ came and started a new thing. He established the new covenant, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is our mission, to speak and proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness. Only believers have the right to speak about Christ and preach the gospel. This is our privilege. So the mediator and the representative of God's people shed his blood to establish the covenant, to consecrate them to himself. They are all priests, dedicated firstborn, who are in turn represent and serve God. That's how Christ is a better mediator. He effects change in his people. I want you to imagine how much Moses was called to do many things, and he had all the privileges, but the people looked and saw him enter into the tabernacle, see God face to face, but none of them could have the same privilege. But then for all the new covenant believers, they have the privileges and the rights of Jesus, their older brother. Finally, we read about the Christ's blood that speaks better than Abel's blood. Cain was the firstborn, but did not have faith in God, and he killed Abel, his brother. And Abel's blood cries for justice. It cries for the killing of the firstborn. This is Abel's blood. But Christ came to shed his blood as a ransom for many. His blood cries, mercy, mercy, mercy. It is finished. And God hears that and forgives sinners, forgives the sins of those who come to him through Christ. This is the truth that we should delight in repeating and meditating on day and night. The people who are around us, they don't understand why do we gather to worship only Christ. You see, he's not just a man. He is God, the Son incarnate, and he came to save us. But Christ is not only the reason that God forgives us. He's also the reason we can forgive each other. He is the reason we can forgive others. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The more you realize that you are forgiven because of Christ, freely, by grace alone, the more you can forgive others, especially those who are your brothers and sisters. Look to Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. He is able to cleanse our consciences. And Jesus gives his believers, his people, us a greater access, because he is the perfect mediator whose blood establishes a better and lasting covenant. I want to end by words from the song, O My Soul, Arise. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as a child. I can no longer fear. With confidence, I now draw near.